Well, that puts everybody in a good mood. That's a special video in many ways, but one of the dancers there in that video is Laverne and Edith Tripp's granddaughter, Isabella Tripp, and that's the daughter of Terry Tripp. So all of the Tripps, congratulations on Bella's discovery here, one of the dancers in that video. Well, we've declared 2019 since January the 1st as the year of the Word of the Lord, where we will go in our personal lives and corporately as a church body this year will be determined by our ability to hear the Word of the Lord. I've said it many times. I'd like to think it's true for me and for you. Every time I open this book, he opens his mouth. We've been given the written word of God, forever settled. It changes not. And as we read his word, we hear his voice. The Bible says about itself that the word of God makes us thoroughly equipped to get from where we are today to our final destination. Everything we need on board in our life, we receive by hearing the Word of God. And today, I want to continue talking about the importance that the Word of God has in the life of a believer. David the psalmist, we're going to look at him today because probably nobody had an affection for God's word any greater than David did. We'll look closely at that in a minute. But he said in the Psalms, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. And it's not too late to begin seeking God for this year. This is the last Sunday in January. The year is fastly moving forward. But early in the year, we will seek God, and we will seek him all year long, and make it personal and break it up into daytime activities. Early every morning, spend the early part of your day seeking God. Oh God, you are my God, and early in the year, and early in the morning, I will seek you. Now today I want to begin in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. The writer of Hebrews talks to people like us and says this, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. The oracles of God could be reworded simply to say the words of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. A haunting phrase for any believer. To be unskilled in the word. And the Bible says, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I want to talk this morning about skillfully handling the word. Skillfully handling the word. The writer of Hebrews says, that as we develop and grow and mature spiritually, we are likened unto a natural baby. And a newborn infant cannot handle strong meat. It will choke them to death. There are some revelations God has for us in our lifetime along our journey we're simply not ready for when we're an infant in Christ. We need milk, and thank God for milk for babies, because milk will keep a baby alive. Milk will jumpstart the growth process. Milk in the early days of a natural baby, and the milk of the word in the early days for a spiritual person will sustain us and get us headed in the right direction. But then as a natural baby grows, there comes a time early in the life of a natural child where they desire more than just milk. And they're able to handle it. They're able to chew it. They're able to digest it. And it feeds their body and causes them to grow to the next level. And unskilled, in the Greek language, that word for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word. In the Greek, it means is inexperienced and ignorant. Now, there's only one reason that a believer should live their entire lifetime on earth and be unskilled, inexperienced, and ignorant. And that is simply they do not know how to handle skillfully the Word of God. This is the year of the Word of the Lord, and we're putting the Word as top priority in each of our lives for this year. And the Amplified Bible says that when the King James refers to, for he is a babe, he can't handle meat, only milk for him. Some people have been saved 20, 30, 40 years, been born again, know they're on the way to heaven, and still are inexperienced and ignorant in some ways in handling the Word of God skillfully. The Amplified Bible calls them a spiritual infant. Amy Grant years ago had a song that addressed that, called Fat Little Babies. But today we're talking about skillfully handling the Word. The Word of God is a tool and a weapon for us. It's part of our spiritual armor that we wear every day of our life on earth. And so we, like a good soldier, should know how to handle the weapon in our hands. None of us should be unskilled in handling the Word. I want to look, and we won't read this because it's the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm chapter 119. It takes a while to read it, but I hope each of you will read it again this week. Break it up into 7 days if you need to, and slowly read, because this entire chapter, Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, has 176 verses. And almost every verse is David, the psalmist, who wrote that chapter, describing the Word of God and the importance that the Word has in his life. Virtually every verse, in one way or another, refers to God's Word in Psalm 119. Now, David uses a variety of terminology to describe God's Word. We know it as Scripture. We know it as the Bible, we know it is God's Word, but he will refer to the Word of God with some of these words: commandments, laws, statutes, precepts, ordinances, words, and testimonies. All throughout Psalm 119, David is talking about the value of God's Word. And he didn't even have the fullness of Scripture that we have. Basically, he had the law of Moses, the first 5 books of the Old Testament that we have. But he did so much with so little. And he had an affinity for it. He had a deep passion for the Word of God. He realized, even in his day, how important it is for the Word of God to be top priority in our lives. And so he had the moral authority to pray to God like he did. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. So he was driven to the Word he had in his day, to seek God. And there's value in that. Psalm 119, that chapter, I hope you will read it this week, is Scripture speaking about Scripture. It's the Word about the Word. It's rich and it's rewarding for every believer who will read it and study it. In this psalm, we find out how David interacts with the Word. How interactive are we on a daily basis with the Word of God? How important is God's Word, God speaking to us on a daily basis? If I go all day long without eating, my stomach's going to be growling. I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be pitiful. All day without eating, I've never really been hungry in my life that I can remember. And I don't plan to get that way. But the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone or by food for the natural body alone. But man must live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So just like food sustains our natural life, it keeps our physical body alive. Food for the natural body. It's just as important and even more so that the word of God spoken to us sustains our spiritual life. So we should be interactive with the word. Let's look at five ways David skillfully handles the word of God. First of all is trusting the word of God. This is fundamental. It's foundational. We must immediately, early in our spiritual walk, believe that the scriptures are true, like David did. David trusts the reliability of God's word. David knew it so well, he was so interactive with God's word on a daily basis that he knew he could depend on it. He knew it was true. And in verse 160 of Psalm 119, David said this, speaking to God, he said, "The sum of your word is truth." Now, he placed the word of God on the highest level of truth that there is. He knew he could depend on God's word being true more so than the word of anybody else. And we must come to trust the word of God with our life and with everything that we are and that we have, relying on God's word to be the truth, the final authority in every situation. We must regard the word of God like David did as being fully and entirely trustworthy. And if I had a flash card right now, a cue card, it would say, amen. Fully and entirely trustworthy. David knew the value of trusting the word of God. And then secondly, studying the word of God. Studying the word of God. David talks about that practice in Psalm 119. David doesn't just believe the word is true and reliable, but he's a student of the word. And in the New Testament, the counterpart is Paul talking to Timothy, and Paul instructing Timothy and all of us in saying, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We cannot rightly divide the word of truth unless we know how to skillfully handle the word. It's not for spiritual infants, but as each of us grows, then we take on the ability to chew more meat of the word, strong meat, and not just milk only like a spiritual infant has to have. Rightly dividing the word. The Amplified Bible says, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word. Imagine it. If you've been born again for 6 months, then you have so much to give to the person who is just now, today, or this past week, entering into the new birth experience. You have something to give, and not just milk only, but somebody needs what you have. And then, as we go on our journey and serve God for decades in our lifetime, then we reach a place to where milk doesn't satisfy the hunger anymore. We've got to get into the Word of God on a daily basis and study it and ask God to reveal mysteries. And we've already talked about the word reveal, meaning to take the cover off of something that is hidden. And God has revelation hidden in His Word. They're reserved for the right moment for each of us. And as we study His Word, learning how to rightly divide the word, how to accurately handle and skillfully teach the word with our lives, then God takes the cover off and reveals a mystery to us. There's nothing any more satisfying than that. I love revelation. I love it when T.D. Jakes give me a revelation. I love it when everybody out there, if they have a revelation, I'm all ears. And I love a revelation, but the best revelations I have ever received came as I was studying the Word, and the Holy Spirit inside of me took the cover off of a mystery. God, what did you mean when you wrote this? And the cover comes off, and He reveals truth at a deep level, some strong meat. I mean, I get hungry for that. I'm hungry for natural food about all the time, too. But I love it every day to find something in the Word that's a benefit to me when I study it out. And we have all the resources today. I remember when I was a young man, before everybody had a PC and apps for everything, I remember when you had to go to the bookshelf and take a 50-pound book off the shelf. It was a Bible concordance, and it was small print. I mean, it was just so small, you need a magnifying glass to read the Strong's concordance that had every word in the Bible listed and what the original meaning was in Hebrew or Greek. And I remember how much fun that was, but it give you muscles just moving the book back and forth from the shelf. Now, on our iPads, on our phones, on our PCs, there's a Strong's Concordance app. There's YouVersion with so many different translations and paraphrases of Scripture all at our fingertips. You don't have to gain any muscle in your arm lifting a heavy book these days. So many resources are there. So I challenge you to find what works for you and commit to studying the Word of God at a deeper level. And then thirdly, after trusting the Word and studying the Word, we see in Psalm 119, David tells us that we should be practicing the Word of God. Now, the Bible says of itself, this is the Word about the Word, that the Word of God is a sword of the Spirit. It is a tool. Sometimes swords can be tools. Like if you're going through an overgrown area where there's a lot of brush, then a sword is a good tool to cut the path clear in front of you. A sword can also be a weapon when it's in your hand and you know how to skillfully handle the sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. And so some of us need to do more sword practicing. Practicing the Word of God, actually employing it, exercising the Word of God, putting the Word to work in our lives on a personal basis, to look at the Word as a guide through the difficulties and challenges of life, and to lean on the Word for encouragement and hope. Whenever David sensed a lack in any area of his life, he knew the Word well enough he could skillfully handle it, and he put it to work. He leaned on the Word. And here's just a few ways he describes it in Psalm 119. He looked to the Word of God as a counselor in verse 24. He looked to the Word of God to give him strength when he was weak in verse 28. He looked to the Word and he put the Word to work when he was in affliction and it brought him comfort. That's in verse 50 of that great chapter. And then when he was at a loss for direction and did not know where to go next, he practiced the Word of God and it gave him the direction he needed. That's in verse 105. When he said, "Your Word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path." I was talking with somebody a few weeks ago, and there are many like this, But this person said to me, after she had told me some things she was going through, some difficulties, challenges that had just knocked the wind out of her temporarily in life on her journey, and she made this declaration to me. She said, "I'm just in a really dark place." Now, I'm not minimizing that. I've been through some darkness and the deep, dark night of the soul. It's a very real thing. Some of you right here this morning right now may be in a really dark place. But when you are in a dark place, turn on the light. God's word, put it to work. Exercise the word in your life. Hold him to his word when he says, oh, you may be in a dark place, but my word is a lamp. How wonderful is it to be in a dark room and you can't even feel a thing, see a thing, and a lamp comes on in that dark place. It doesn't take a bright light. Just a lamp, a candle. And it makes all the difference in the world. David said, your word is a lamp to my feet. It shows my feet what direction to go. And a light under my path. I can see a ways ahead now because of the light shining on the path God has in front of me. All of that comes as we practice the word of God like David talks about in Psalm 119. And of course, the word of God, as we practice it, we get to know the truth about it at a higher level. God's word is alive. It is powerful. And it is active. Oh, may the word of God be even more active in our lives than it has ever been. It quickens the dead and makes the dead thing alive in our life. And it's powerful. It's not a weak thing. As we practice the word of God, we find out that the writer of Hebrews, there again, was right. It's active, it's powerful, and it's alive. Now, the Bible is more than just a true book. There are other true books. Encyclopedias can be true books. Not Wikipedia, though. Not all the time. There are other true books. Let's hope many other true books. But the Bible is not just a true book. It's a living book. As we read the word and hear God's voice as he speaks from this living book, it has an effect on our life. It's the source of our very life, our spiritual life. And then David talking about trusting the word of God, studying the word of God, practicing the word of God, and the next one is delighting in the word of God. Now, this is where a lot of people separate. Some people, well, I know I've got to have some of the words. I've got to do it to live and survive. And they never really taste of the word and savor the flavor of the word and enjoy the fragrance of their life that the word of God can give us in our life. We stop short of delighting in the word. But David took everything a step further. After trusting and studying and practicing, he went to another level by delighting in the word. He said in Psalm 119 that he has a deep affection for the word. In verse 159, he says he loves the word. Are we in a love affair with God's word? Do we embrace it to that degree that it's such a delightful thing, such a desired thing in our life on a daily basis? In verse 162, it says he rejoices at the word. There have been a few times in my life I've stumbled over a specific word in Scripture, and it was such an on-time, in-season word that it made me rejoice. I know what it's like to, from time to time, have the cover taken off and a revelation from God's word hit me in such a powerful way that it made me rejoice. And David knew what that was like, and I think he did it probably on a daily basis. He loved the word. He rejoiced at the word. Verse 18 of that chapter, he said, thy word is wondrous. That's a word we don't use much anymore in our modern English. But how magnificent should something be, can something be, for us to say that's a wondrous thing. That's the way David delighted in the word of the Lord. He called it wondrous. And then he delighted in the Word of God so much. And oh my, I don't think I could legitimately claim this yet, but I'm going for it this year. The value of the Word's going up in my life. David said it like this in verse 72, better than thousands of gold and silver pieces is your word to me. That's how much he delighted in God's word. It was better than gold and silver. And then in verse 103, he let us know how much he delighted in the word. He tasted the word and he said, it's sweeter than honey to my mouth. My, my, this is a man whose heart was after God and who had a revelation of the priority that the word of the Lord should have in his life from early in the morning and every day of his life. He trusted it. He studied it. He practiced it. He delighted in it. And for many Christians, interaction with the word, and this is simply true, it's been true in my life, off and on, all my life, probably for you too, if you'll be honest. Our level of interactivity with the Word of God sometimes is mechanical. Oh, it's something I've got to have my time this morning. Got to have my devotion to feel better about myself. Check a box. And it's never been intended to be that routine and uneventful and mechanical. It's meant to give us joy and revelation and life itself. It all comes from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we should shake it up a little, whatever you've got to do, to get out of the routine mechanics of interaction with God's word and let it be life-giving every time you crack the book and hear God speak. David, when he talked about how much he delighted in the word, he shows us his passion and his zeal and his excitement for hearing God's word. And I get the sense from reading the 176 verses in that chapter, Psalm 119, that he couldn't go a day without it. He just had to have a freshness from God's word every day of his life. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And any Christian who says they love God and does not develop a desire for his word is living a life of contradiction. Just can't go very long that way. So, David trusted in the word. He studied the word. He put the word into practice in his life. And he delighted in the word. And lastly, he taught us that we should be obeying the word of God. Now, all of the other four naturally lead to this one. And obedience often comes in our day trapped in legalism. It becomes a religious thing to obey the Lord. But David repeatedly expresses in Psalm 119 his desire to obey God's word. He wants to follow it. He wants to keep it. These are his words from that chapter. He wants to fulfill God's word. And in our world today, the concept of obeying the law is not popular. And God's word, the first five books, the books of Moses, were the law of God. And in the Old Testament, it was live or die based on your keeping the law of Moses. They had no revelation. Back in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Not like it is in our day today. But their concept of obeying the law of God's word was so limited, and it had the trappings of religion and legalism, which will choke the life out of us in our covenant. But being obedient to the word of the Lord is still the standard God expects for us. Many think that any attempt on our part To obey God's law is contrary to grace. And I love the grace message. We're saved by grace. It's all grace. God has done everything for us. All we have to do is simply believe on Him, and that changes everything. But He still calls for us to respect the word of the Lord to the degree that we're willing to surrender to its teachings and obey the word of God. David talked about that a lot in the Psalms, and especially Psalm 119 that each of you are going to read this week. The whole Psalm, all 176 verses. I tell you what, as you read it, believe God to do this. Believe the Lord as you read that Psalm this week. Believe Him to take the cover off of some mysteries in it. There are so many that are still not even discovered yet. It's unsearchable. That's how wealthy and rich the Word of God is in revelation. No matter how many revelations you've heard, I've heard in our lifetime, there are still deep mysteries with the cover on top. They've not been disclosed yet. And as we seek God's Word and hear God speak His Word, then He takes the cover off and reveals wonderful things. I'm excited about what's going to happen in my life this week and in yours as you approach God's Word from that perspective. Now, David was not keeping the law to earn salvation. That was not his covenant. But he was obeying the Word of the Lord out of his love for God. And the more we know about His Word, and the better we can skillfully handle the Word of God, the greater our heart is toward the Lord, the greater our love for Him, and we will simply want to yield and surrender to His instruction without any legalism and without any religion attached to it. It's all grace and it's all good, and we surrender to obeying the Word of God. Now, Jesus Himself was very much about obeying the law. He didn't teach anybody to break the law. He said, I didn't even come myself to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill the law. And He did keep the law with absolute perfection, something none of us have done or ever could do. But He did. He kept the law. He was sinless. And He did it to give a great gift to us, that we can, by faith, receive the gift of His life into our lives. And our spiritually mature believer knows how to skillfully handle the Word by trusting it, by studying it, by practicing it and putting it to work in our life on a daily basis, by delighting in God's Word, and then obeying the Word of the Lord. Now, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. What do you think is your treasure? Is it a natural thing? Is it money, stocks, bonds? Is it interpersonal? Is the greatest treasure in your life a relationship with somebody? The Bible says wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So do we consider God's Word a treasure? If so, our heart will be in the Word of the Lord. I want to close with a story I read recently that talks about the Word of God being our greatest treasure. And it should become that if it's not already in each of our lives during this year. This is the year of the Word of the Lord. Our destiny will be determined by the measure of the Word of God we receive and the measure of the voice of the Lord that we hear this year. The story is told about a pastor who was well known in his day. His name was George Truett. He was invited to dinner in the home of a wealthy man who was a Texas businessman. After the meal, the host led the pastor to a place where he could get a good view of the surrounding area, and he pointed to oil wells in one direction and boasted, 25 years ago I had nothing. And now, as far as you can see in this direction, all those oil wells It's all mine. And then the businessman looked in the opposite direction at his sprawling fields of grain, as far as the eye could see. And he said to Pastor Truett, "Everything you see in this direction, it's all mine." And then the businessman turned in yet another direction, and there were huge herds of cattle, and he kept bragging, "They're all mine." And then he pointed in another direction, and there was a beautiful forest, and he boasted in that too. He said, "That too is all mine. 25 years ago, I had nothing, but now everything you can see in every direction, it's all mine." And the businessman paused and expected Dr. Truett to compliment him on his great success. Pastor Truett, however, placing one hand on the man's shoulder and pointing heavenward with the other hand, simply said, "How much do you have in that direction?" The man hung his head and confessed, "I never thought of that." What is your greatest possession? What is your greatest treasure? When the Word of God becomes your greatest treasure, its sufficiency will be evident in everything we do in our life. Would you stand with me, please?